It's time to cheer ourselves up with some bizarre news stories from around the world. When I'm saying cheer ourselves up, I don't know really, but blind journalist Paul Bryce joins me now. Hello.
Simon Bowley.
And are we going to be cheered up, do you think?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't like to put guarantees on these.
No.
That's the aim.
That's asking for trouble.
Well, yes. And this week we shall dull the pain. There is a rather boozy theme to our lot this week.
Oh, dear, 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 dear.
Well, you know, in moderation and all.
Oh, no.
And this week we actually start in Finland. And they're not very happy in Finland.
What, generally?
Well, generally, yes, I am led to believe. But also, they're very unhappy at the moment because they've just discovered that the days of their booze cruise might be over.
Where do they go for a booze cruise?
They go to Estonia. Finnish people do.
Well, I never did.
They take a 50-mile boat ride from Helsinki to Tallinn. Now, the Estonians have just got wise to this, and they've decided they're going to put a 70% tax rise on alcoholic beverages.
Sounds familiar.
I actually think we did a story similar to this quite recently. So, you know, a 12-euro crate of beer will now cost them 18 euros.
Mm-hmm. And does that bring it into line with what they would pay back home, then?
Well, it puts it very close to it. It certainly negates the point of having a booze cruise, because that's the whole point of it. They go and get it cheaper. So they've decided to go to Latvia instead.
Oh, I see. Was it the Estonian government that put the tax on the booze then?
Yes.
Right, so where are they going now?
They're going to Latvia,
well,
which is a decent drive from the ferry port. But it is quite amusing that the company that runs the main store that people use, called Super Alco, I'm sure other stores are available, you can actually see the store from the border. So, you know, that's where people are going straight away. So that's what's going to happen with that.
I mean, how desperate are people?
What, for a drink?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, difficult times and all that. And when you've done that, you can go to China. Because in China, you can now get a liquor degree.
Oh, really?
Which is a great idea.
I wonder if that's been offered over here yet. I've had a degree of liquor offered to me.
Same. But this is all to do with, I hope I get this right, Kimote.
Sounds good.
Which is a very well-known drink, a bit like a liqueur, I suppose, a fire water type drink that is made in China. And they are now sponsoring, they're opening their own university they've had built. And it's not just to study the science of drink, but it's to study things like you know, wine courses and food quality management and all that sort of thing, because apparently there's a skill shortage of people in you know, China doing that sort of stuff. So it's all quite interesting.
Seems a bit limited, though. Is that the only degree they offer?
Well, at this stage, but within the one area, there are lots of different courses.
Right.
But apparently you can also study the science of hot noodles at other universities.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. Would you like to study the science of hot noodles?
I don't know. I don't know much about them.
No.
I mean, it might be quite interesting.
Well, if anybody's out there studying that sort of stuff, let us know. We'll give you contact details.
Yeah, let us know about your noodles.
Yes, absolutely. We'll give you contact details at the end. And now for something completely different, that well-worn radio link.
By you.
By me. Because we're going to Serbia, and don't quite know how to approach it, but here we go. Nikola Tesla is a very famous
scientist.
Name. And there's a move afoot to protect him. There are a group of people. He was actually born in Croatia, and he died in 1943 in New York, having created what he has created, which is all sorts of exciting stuff. He even had a record named after him by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. You might remember Tesla's Girls.
No, I don't remember that.
There you are.
Did you make that up?
I did not.
From your book of facts.
I haven't written that yet.
Yeah.
I'm getting them together. But there are people who are concerned that basically Tesla's being made a tourist attraction and sort of being taken over by the Serbians, because that's where he is interred, in Belgrade. in the Tesla Museum. And there are people who are not very happy about this. They say he belongs to the entire world, not just to one place.
So what's the suggestion then? He goes on tour?
I think they would like to do that, but they're upholding the principle of, you know, be more liberal.
I don't understand.
Well, they're looking out for, you know, the Serbians think he just belongs to them,
mm-hmm.
and they've got him in a museum.
Right.
But the people who don't think that are saying, don't just keep him to yourselves.
Right.
You know, don't put him in a museum.
He's in a museum?
Yeah, he's in a museum.
Doing what?
He's just in a box.
Really?
In a museum.
I didn't know that, actually. I know you said that, but that hadn't actually dawned on me.
Yeah, he's in the Tesla Museum.
It's quite an interesting story, Tesla, because I think he was posthumously awarded the Nobel Prize for radio, discovering radio. I think Marconi had it, and then it was finally admitted that Tesla was there first.
Yes, and I don't think it went down with lovers of Marconi.
No.
He was seen as the great man who invented what we're doing today.
Indeed, and I bet he's so proud.
If only he knew. Now, a little bird tells me that you're quite a figure of a man. You're quite well made.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you're very modest there, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm in proportion.
Oh, no, I've never been in proportion in my life. So I know exactly how you feel. Now, it's not very often that the physique will get you a job.
Oh, no.
Well, apparently in Japan it will, because there is a shortage of those who work in construction and sort of demolition and things like that. So there's been a bit of a contest by a Japanese company to get people more interested, younger people more interested in the sort of building job, by getting people to display their muscles, which, you know...
Was that a competition?
Yes.
Oh, right, yes. Okay.
Competition. So you've got them sort of posing in front of building works, building sites with these rippling muscles and, you know, saying that this is how I look, this is what you could do.
Oh, right, so like this is a job for men?
Yes.
Slightly sexist, isn't it?
It is, but then it is a male-dominated area, not to suggest that females can't do the job.
Yeah. That's a bit heightist as well, isn't it?
I don't know.
A bit muscleist.
They are muscleist. I've not heard of that one before.
Yeah, well, for the people that don't have big muscles, they're going to feel a little bit dejected?
Not necessarily, because there is a picture of a guy in a suit doing administration work on a laptop.
So. But he might have muscles underneath?
Well, I think he did.
There you go.
But you don't need lots of muscles to operate a laptop.
No. No.
So it's basically to try and get the younger generation involved, because the older ones are getting older, the younger ones don't really like it, so they're trying to sort of, if you'll forgive the phrase, they're trying to sex it up a bit.
Well, you know, you tend to think it's only countries like Britain and the Western world that come up with strange ideas like this for marketing, but it just shows you.
Well, let's think that it's quite a lot of people in Japan, so you'd think there wouldn't be a shortage, but there is.
Well, there you go.
Hey-ho.
Well, those stories were bizarre, if nothing else.
Well, that's the whole point of it, so objective achieved for this.
Mm. Now, if you know about these stories, or you would just like to say hello, well, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely, we would. Search for us online, RNIB Connect Radio, and you'll find us there.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.